Blog Talk Radio.
So Aisha Curry dares to be vulnerable, publicly vulnerable, dares to be human in front of people, and somehow the internet can't take it. Somehow the internet has to drag her for admitting that she, Aisha Curry, one half of a power couple, married to an NBA superstar who is the son of an NBA family, somehow she's not allowed to be vulnerable. She's not allowed to have insecurities. She's not allowed to appear. And again, I want to stress the word appear, to be ungrateful for some situation. Now, I don't think that's what's actually happening. I don't think Aisha Curry is ungrateful. I don't think that she's taking her life or her situation for granted. But she expressed some insecurities on the Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett Smith and Jada Pinkett's mom and daughter, Willow Smith. And people just did not know what to do with it. So let's set this up real quick. The Smith family, Jada, Willow, and her mother, Adrian, they do these Red Table Talks. I'm pretty sure most of you are familiar, at least with the concept, if you don't watch them all. I don't watch them all, but I watch them when there's somebody that I'm interested in or in moments like this when the guests go viral. And that was a situation on Tuesday. Aisha Curry was trending on Twitter for reasons I could not understand because it's her husband that just missed the dunk in the Western Conference semifinals in one of the most highly anticipated playoff series in recent memory. It's her husband who has struggled to show up and play like his regular self in, again, one of the playoff series that has the most stakes tied to it. So I was a little bit surprised to see Aisha Curry trending because I did not know that this episode of the Red Table Talk was upcoming. I was unaware. But on the show, they go over a number of things. I believe it was Jada who asked the women, first of all, they had not just Aisha, but the matriarch of the Curry family, Sonya Curry, Steph's mom, Dale Curry's wife, on the show. They also had Steph's sister and soon-to-be sister-in-law, Seth Curry's fiance, new fiance, who is also the daughter of NBA head coach Doc Rivers, who also played for a number of years, that sort of thing. So this is basketball-wise. This is a prime, just sort of a prime setup for women who are dealing with men in the NBA, either through marriage and or as siblings. And so it was asked to the women, how do they deal with these women, all these women and groupies throwing themselves at their husband? And they gave the expected answers, right? Like, they don't like it, and, you know, just answers that you would expect, right? But then somewhere along the lines in the conversation, Aisha Curry, who, to be clear, let's not characterize her as just the wife of Stephen Curry, because you got a lot of wives out here that's not doing and hustling the way that Aisha is. Steph Curry is not the only NBA superstar who's married, who has a wife, but he is one of the few whose wife is out here being a boss all on her own. Or you can say that she's using the name of her husband to propel her career. I don't have a problem with that. Like, get it how you feel. Like, we all are... we all experience some fortune, some level of luck in attaining whatever level of success that we attain. So I'm not mad at her for using her connection and parlaying that into a good thing for herself on her own. So, yeah, Aisha Curry, she authors cookbooks. She's kind of like a chef. She does television. And then, of course, she is the wife of Stephen Curry. And at some point, she makes the point that while all these women are throwing themselves at her husband, who, again, is a rich NBA superstar, all these women are throwing themselves at her husband. She says over the past decade or so, she hasn't gotten any of that. She says she gets zero male attention. And she begins to internalize it and wonders if something is wrong with her. Most of us know what Aisha Curry looks like and would agree that she is an objectively attractive woman, right? And that's not to objectify her, but we would agree that she is an objectively attractive woman. So it did catch a lot of people off guard to hear her say that she doesn't get any male attention, especially for those of us who traffic in these internet streets and happen to know for a fact that there are people out here that are checking for Aisha Curry, albeit a lot of times respectfully, but it's not like no one has noticed that Aisha Curry is both attractive and possibly and likely a good catch. Like, I don't want to use this term as a pejorative, but you understand where I'm going with this. She's like a wifey material. I hate to say that because it pits certain women against others, like whatever non-wifey material may be, and that's not what I'm going for. But y'all understand what I'm saying. She has been widely considered that because of the image that she and Steph portray. Spiritually strong. They've been together since they were teenagers. They have three little children. They seem to be the model of consistency or what relationship goals might be for those on the outside looking in that don't really actually know these people. So, when people heard that she was internalizing this so-called zero male attention that she gets, people immediately recoiled and thought, well, how is it that this married woman who seems to have a strong relationship, a strong marriage with success tied to it, how is it that she's looking for outside attention? And so all of a sudden here, people can't relate to someone's possibly irrational insecurity. Like, that's not something that we all go through or all experience at some point or another, especially in the age of social media. And I don't think there's any more overused term than the age of social media, especially since the age of social media has been going on for so long now, and all of us are on one social media platform or another, if not multiple. So it's an overplayed and overused term, but there's no question that with social media has come some, I think, extended or heightened level of insecurity for people who are comparing themselves to others on social media. That's not what's happening with Aisha Curry. It's not social media per se. She's sort of comparing herself to her husband and the fact that her husband is rich and famous and therefore more visible than she is, more famous than she is, and so he's getting attention from people that, just from the simple fact that more people know who he is, more than likely, than people know who she is, okay? That's what's happening. People don't seem to have the patience for this, and I just don't understand it. Like at what point did you decide that you were going to go through this entire life without any insecurity, without ever checking over your shoulder, or without ever comparing yourself to somebody in your life that you love that you think is getting more attention than you? At what point? Because let's be honest, like in real life, like Steph Curry is an okay-looking guy. He's a decent-looking dude. But if we strip away the fame and the money, the accolades, the visibility, and just make them regular folks that work at the mall, more people are checking for Aisha Curry than Steph Curry. Then more men are checking for Aisha Curry than women are checking for Steph. Steph's just another dude out here, whereas Aisha is, like I mentioned before, objectively attractive. And if we understand how these things work, for women, I hate to say this, but for women, like, y'all got dudes trying to get at you even when you don't have your hair done, even when you're not dressed the best or looking your best. There are still dudes out here trying to get with you because it's just a savage game out here, the pursuit. It's just a savage game out here. So it does sound a little bit ridiculous that she would think that no one's checking for her. And to be clear, if you watch the video, they all the women around her made it clear, like, girl, you tripping. You just don't know. Like her mother-in-law said, you're just not looking. You're not seeking it, perhaps, or perhaps you're just blind to it. But this is not the case. But this is not a strange or uncommon feeling to want to be pursued. Like, it's not. Like, we can acknowledge, and we have acknowledged as a culture, that jealousy is a weak emotion. But I don't think that it's one that any of us are above. I don't think that it is the type of weakness that any of us are immune to. And we all have weak moments. I think that what she was trying to do there was share that with us, and or at least with the table, and it just didn't seem all that strange to me. I didn't find it to be odd in the least bit. And I find it really disingenuous and hypocritical of people who use social media a lot of times to express their emotions, to overshare, and to be vulnerable a lot of times to want to jump on her for this. And quite honestly, I think what we're seeing here is some hate. Like, people are looking at her relationship saying, man, I wish that I had the money that Aisha Curry has. I wish I had a man who is as successful and seemingly good. Like, Steph Curry, we would all be surprised to learn one day that Steph Curry is not a nice guy. Like, that would shock us all. I think the conventional wisdom right now is that, hey, that's a good dude, even by NBA standards. I think there's some jealousy there where people are looking at that situation, wanting that situation for themselves, and not being able to imagine them being in that situation and still having some level of insecurity and happiness. And that's a you problem. That is an internal problem. That is not an Aisha Curry problem. It is not. And so I was a little bit surprised to see how hypocritical everyone was on social media. Not everyone, but so many people were on social media in that moment. Now, it looks like the way I set up this episode was not for the whole 30 minutes like what I wanted, like what I was trying to do. I was rushing and overlooked it, and I only had 15 minutes. And so we're almost here at the end. I wanted to hit on this situation with Uber and Lyft and the ride-hailing programs who are basically trying to shaft their drivers. It's a couple of days ahead of Uber's IPO, and they are set to make a lot of people millionaires. Like, their initial shareholders and investors are about to make a lot of money with this IPO. And as part of that, one thing that they've done has been to decrease the wages and the earnings of the drivers. And the drivers are just not having it. Like, on Wednesday, this is being recorded on Wednesday, May 8th, and these drivers, like, it used to be just a few hundred drivers who these protests or these labor strikes, but you got thousands of drivers across the world who are not having it. They see what's going on. They peak gain. They know that this is a ruthless business strategy to not consider them as employees and to figure out all the ways around paying them what is fair, also that they can line their pockets up. And so we're seeing this, that the workers are now empowered. I was reading an article earlier on Vox that notes that there are more jobs available than there are people looking for work. And so this is an opportunity for these drivers and for these workers to stand their ground and to have their voices heard and to demand more. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not mad at it. Like, if it results in some negative effects for Uber, so be it. Get your money, man.